You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, June 1st, 2017. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive and the biggest Golden State Warriors fan I know. Corey Parson.
What's the deal, Greg? How's everything going this morning? This is... Hey, I guess it's going to be a lot of fun. So we got a lot of fantasy stuff to get to today. Some football, some baseball that went down last night. And, of course, we also get a chance to, you know, talk about we got what we wanted, and it starts tonight.
Alongside the king, Scott Engel. How's it going?
What's going on, G-Man? How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing great. And CTM Baseball's Matt Modica. Matty, how you doing?
I'm doing well. It's a beautiful day in Manhattan this morning.
It is. I am Greg Sossman. It's Thursday. It is June 1st, which means it is officially Paddock Day for Scott Engel. I have been waiting for this day since April 1st. So this is exciting for me.
I don't feel panicky on anybody in particular. Though. All the guys that I've was going to panic on, you know, I've either hit my bench or I've moved them or cut them or somehow something.
Well, but if they hit your bench, that means you should be panicking on them. Like Kyle Schwarber, you should be panicking on.
Yeah, but I'm not going to cut Kyle.
Why?
It's a 15-team league. What's better on free agency than Kyle Schwarber?
Someone that's hitting the ball.
Well, let's look at the free agent list, and you give me one guy that you'd rather have than Kyle Schwarber right now.
I would rather have everybody.
I'd rather wait for him to turn it around. I'd have to
hold on to Schwarber in a 15-team league.
All right, but like this is the point, right?
I've tried to trade him. I can't get anything for him.
Of course you can't, because he stinks.
Right. I've already panicked on these guys. Mikel Franco and Kyle Schwarber, yes. Two guys who have disappointed me on my team, right?
Absolutely.
But on a 15-team league, I'd rather wait for them to turn it around than go out there on free agency, because there's nothing there on free agency.
This was my issue. It's June 1st. You promised me you would panic on... Right, okay. I mean, it talked about Jose Bautista, right? Like, all these guys that were struggling. Bautista turned it around a little bit. But all these guys that have struggled on June 1st was a date that we're going to panic and we're finally going to look. At some point... You have to tell me when you are giving up on the players that stink.
Look, they are what they are right now after 2 months.
Right.
I agree with you.
Right.
In a 12-team league, I've already jettisoned a few guys and cut a few guys who are disappointing me.
Right.
But in a 15-teamer, there is nothing better left on free agency. No way. There is no way with anybody who has a homer potential, an RBI potential of a Mikel Franco or Kyle Schwarber on free agency.
That is, you keep saying potential.
Yeah, wait, but if
what is out there? Look at the free agent list. Give me two names that you'd rather have than Kyle Schwarber.
The fact is, if Kyle Schwarber gets demoted, you're still going to sit here and tell me about Kyle Schwarber. Ryan Schiff is 14 home runs and probably a better average.
Ryan Schiff's going to hit like 150.
So is Kyle Schwarber!
No.
You can keep telling me no, and I'm going to give you the stats. More Roto Experts in the Morning. It's June 1st, baby. This is what I was waiting for here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. So it's June 1st, a day that I have been repeatedly told is if your player is not performing up to par, is when you have the right to start panicking, to start seeing what else is out there, and potentially make the move. Now, the name that I have brought up, because I know Scotty owns him in a league, it's like, again, Scott, just a name that we could all discuss, is Kyle Schwarber, because I think he's like a perfect example for this. Because Kyle Schwarber was an early round draft pick in some leagues like Yahoo. He had catcher eligibility. Like, this was a guy that a lot of people got in on because you saw him in the World Series. He came back, this big hulking dude, and you knew of all of this potential that he could give you. He was this 30 home run dude that was going to hit for power in the middle of a sick Cubs lineup, get on base at a fantastic rate. And be a big value source for you. 100%. It is June 1st. We are about 2 months in to the regular season. Kyle Schwarber is batting 165.
170.
No, it's 170.
He went up 5 points last night. No, he went 0-for-4 last night.
No, so. This is 165. Whether it's 165 or 170,
he stinks.
It's still crappy.
It's not great. He's got on the season 8 homers, 22 runs scored, and 19 ribbies. Counting stats could be worse. We'll do it like that. I look at Kyle Schwarber today, and to me, especially in a league where he's not catcher eligible, there are going to be outfielders on the waiver wire that are currently performing better than Kyle Schwarber. Like, there's not a dispute about that. Like, let's look at Tommy Pham for a second, right? Like, this dude's batting 320. 5 homers, a couple less than Schwarber, but he's played less games than Schwarber, obviously. 14 ribbies and a 15 runs scored. No one gets excited with Tommy Pham. I realize that. Ryan Schimpf, 168, which according to this, a higher average for the record than Kyle Schwarber. He's got more home runs. He has more RBI. He has more runs scored. All these counting stats better than Kyle Schwarber. But the reason Scotty won't cut Kyle Schwarber for Ryan Schimpf is because he just said Ryan Schimpf's going to bat 140. And I said Kyle Schwarber's not going to bat much better. Right?
Like, but see, here's the thing.
They're the same guy, though, right now. And here, to give you the honest opinion on it right now, the honest assessment on it right now is that I can pick up Ryan Schimpf, and I can pick up Tommy Pham, and I have other guys on my roster who are complete dead weight, like Yoli Chacin and Alex Wilson, and I can still keep Schwarber and hope he turns it around.
Sure.
Especially in a 15-team league. And those are the only two free agents out there that we can even make this argument about. If I don't get them, if I don't bid them up, there's nobody else out there. I'm going to cut those guys.
Listen, I agree with you, Scotty, that I'm cutting Alex Wilson, cutting Elise Chacin before I'm cutting Kyle Schwarber, right? Like, I'm not disagreeing with that at all.
Right.
But,
and I'm agreeing with you that it's totally legitimate to panic and consider it at this point. And in a 12-team league, you might go.
Right. So, again, those two guys need to go before Schwarber, right? Like, we're not in disagreement with that remotely.
Yeah.
But if all of a sudden this week there's a third guy that gets out there, some minor league prospect gets called up, whatever, and there's a third guy, I don't think, given that we're 2 months in, like, it's time to be like, okay, Kyle Schwarber's potential is telling me this. It's June 1st already.
His BABIP is 204.
I get it.
So, you know what I mean? That's going to change. He's still walking at a nice clip, you know what I mean? Striking out, like, way too much, almost 30% of the time. But this is my thing, though, Greg. If you think this dude is still going to hit 250 and 25 home runs, why get rid of him now? You ate all the bad parts of the season, and then when he get on his tail, he going to be on somebody else's team? I think you got to sticky. I think, especially in the 15-team league, you got to hang in there, because when he raises his average to 250, when he hits 25 home runs, you don't want that to be on somebody else's team, and you ate the 170.
Listen, The thing with a guy like Schwarber is, he could have two bad months, and then he could have two months where he rips it up.
I don't own any Kyle Schwarber, but I wouldn't cut him neither. I mean, I'm probably going to hold on to Rangel Grichuk in some 15-team leagues, just because of his makeup, the fly balls, the hard hit percentage, and hopefully he straightens his swing out. You're not going to get these guys. I mean, if we look last season, people cut in 12-team leagues. We're cutting Brian Dozier.
100%.
Brian Dozier. Even a guy like Justin Turner from June 1st on. If we look at Devin Travis and Jose Bautista, April versus May. Look at Eric Thames. His April was, nobody would trade him. And now people are like, he's
another guy now.
But in May, even though he's batted 220, he's hitting the ball hard at a 40% rate. He's got a 42% fly. This is a guy you need to buy right now. An Eric Thames kind of guy who in just under 100 plate appearances is batting 220. The shine has worn off a bit. This is where you make your profit. This is where you make your run for the rest of the season.
And again, June 1st is panic day. But to what level do you panic? I panicked by putting them on the bench. There's different levels of panic, and I think cutting those guys in 15-team leagues is still too much of a panic move. I don't disagree with you. I said June 1st is panic day. I stick by it. But to what level am I panicking? I'm not cutting guys of that stature in a 15-team league. I'm just not doing it.
I think Greg's perspective is coming more from a 12-team.
And Scott, and Scott has said repeatedly this morning, like, listen, if you're in a 12-team league and there's a guy out there, hey, you got a decision to make. He said that 1,000%.
It's something I'd strongly consider.
It's a decision you have to make.
Yeah. I think people with Kyle Schwarber this year, I think Kyle Schwarber is going to be a really good ball player. I think he has a very good future ahead of him. The reason I wasn't so excited about him was, well, he missed all of last season. He pretty much missed a whole year of development for him. And as great as he came back for the playoffs or whatever, that run, that was wonderful. But he still had some holes in his game. He's still young. And to be taking him in the sixth round to me was like, even like people were taking David Dahl in the sixth round. I didn't get that. I mean, I was taking Benintendi like three or four rounds later, who's another young guy who's hit a slump, but I think he's proven he's hit everywhere, and I think he'll make that adjustment. So, I mean, I just, in a 15-team league, as much as the negatives I'm giving about Schwarber, I couldn't cut him.
He can't hurt me on my bench, and I can stash him there for what he can still do.
Completely true. That's completely true. Let me ask this, then. In a 15-team league, if what you're saying is fair, right? Like, especially, you know, Corey, he's dealt with a bad, now, like, why don't you reap some reward? I understand that. June 1st, this guy is planted on your bench right now, obviously. Like, yeah. He's not getting up unless there's some major injuries that
especially if I just acquired Pilar, you know, and Benintendi.
Right. Benintendi's his own problem, so go worry about that. But I'm just kidding.
I think he's going to turn around.
I'm just kidding.
I didn't believe
he's
in it.
He's just egging you.
I'm egging you because I traded him away to you.
Yeah.
What day will you, I guess more realistically, say, listen, Kyle Schwarber, I need the spot.
You're going to give up by the 4th of July?
4th of July, like that's like the next point, right?
Can I give him, instance?
If by mid-July he's still,
All-Star
still
break.
Hitting the All-Star,
break?
The All-Star break.
Is he still batting under 200?
He's still batting under 200. There's no end in sight. I think I have to consider it.
Okay.
Here's a good comp. Going into this weekend in Fab, Jorge Bonifacio was available. In some I got him in a couple.
So did I.
But would you cut Kyle Schwarber for Jorge Bonifacio? I personally wouldn't. If I had Schwarber,
it's a very hard move to pull a trigger, Hunt. It's a very hard move to pull a trigger on.
I picked up Bonifacio this week and kept Schwarber.
Yeah. Right. So I picked up Bonifacio and dropped whoever as well. Like, it is very, very hard, I realize, to pull that trigger on your star. I love people that are in June that talk about, like, well, I drafted this guy in the second round. Like, I'm not trying. That means nothing now. But still, I don't know where you were. Where did you draft Kyle Schwarber?
Fourth round?
It's very hard to just give up on the fourth rounder. It is, to this day. I understand that. I know the logic is silly, because if he's not performing, he's not performing, but it's very, very hard to make that
even
decision.
Though what you say is fair, in my mind right now, at this point, we're 2 months in, where guys are drafted at this point really doesn't make a big difference.
But people will see that. You're right in what you're saying, but the other guy is going to be like, I paid this price, and I'm not. I want something of value. I think people, what I hate in the first 2 months, I mean, I've seen it on Twitter, people saying like, oh, I told you so on Tim Anderson like a couple of weeks ago. Tim Anderson right now is batting 262. This is not directed at you, Greg.
But it can be if we like it to.
No, but listen, he's batting 262. He's got six homers, 24 runs, and 15. Last year, in 99 games, he had 9 homers and 30 RBIs. So he's got almost as many homers, half the RBIs, and he's batting 20 points below his average. And we still haven't seen his speed. So, you know, it's just to people out there, don't say, you know, you're right after 6 weeks, and then you look like a fool 2 weeks later.
Yeah. The two words I can give you, and Scott can certainly attest to this, would be Mookie Betts. Because he started out in a terrible April last year, and I'm dancing in the Mothership Studios. And Scott's like, all right, well, I mean, if he sucks by July 4th, like, no problem. And all of a sudden, he goes on out of this unbelievable season.
Yeah.
And Scott doesn't even say a word to me. He just stares at me like, very simply.
Yes, so, and I also traded you Cole Glover yesterday.
And you just traded, yeah. which has to be worth the trade entirely.
Yes.
For you. When do we return, we'll hit up some more baseball headlines from yesterday. Stick around. This right here is the Roto Experts of the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and streaming live always on the Fantasy Sports Network.
Norris, and you're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Hanging out here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Thursday. It's also June 1st. Time to panic, if some have said.
Yeah, piano.
He's playing a new instrument today.
Keyboard. Little progressive rock from Kansas.
Progressive rock in Kansas.
I never pictured Kansas as progressive rock.
Kansas was a progressive rock.
The guy's out there. These guys really out there. I just want everybody to know the guy's out there. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I've never actually pictured Kansas as a progressive state either. Just in general.
That's the what they were described as.
Yeah, not today.
By who, Sky?
Not today.
By rock experts, analysts, etc. You would know. Don't worry about me. When we were on the other show, I asked him one of the four Beatles. He said Ozzy Osbourne.
God, that was satire.
Name the four Beatles
I'm not naming nothing.
Like I said,
I'm not naming nothing.
You listen to trap and that's Corey, it.
Don't worry about what I listen to.
Jagger.
Worry about what my fists do.
Oh yeah? I'm right here.
Let's go, Greg, because I don't want him calling the cops. Can we get back to fantasy,
golden
please?
Fake. You got your receipt, your Modell's receipt, so you can return that for a LeBron jersey next week?
I don't want you
week?
Calling the cops, so can we get back call to the fantasy?
Cops. I don't call the cops when girls attack me.
Call me a girl, Greg. Yeah. Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw that.
I hope Cardano was listening.
Yeah, I hope he was. He's a girl, too.
Last night.
I love you, honey. I'm sorry. He is a girl, though.
Last night, I want to highlight a couple of things, and I want to start with in your direction here, Matt Modica, because these two are fighting, and you know. So I want to start in your direction because it was the return of your boy, James Paxton. And what a return it was. 5 1/3, 3 hits, 6 strikeouts. He didn't allow a run. He didn't allow a walk. He was exquisite over 74 pitches, improving to 4-0 on the year. You know that slump I always talk about the Rockies going in? Here it comes. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean, it was damn impressive. I only got to watch 3 innings of it, though. I just couldn't stay up. But the first 9 batters he faced, he threw first pitch strikes to. Consistently hitting 97. I think he even hit 98. And then he follows that up with an 80-mile-an-hour curveball that was just filthy. I mean, he was just striking people out with that early on, left and right. It was everything, if you're a Paxton owner, that you could possibly hope for. I mean, I'm doing my rankings and put my rankings out tomorrow for rest of the season. And he's not going to be in my top 10 for the fact that can he complete the season? I mean, it's kind of like everything he's doing is real. It's fantastic. It's like Alex Wood, another guy that I would put in my top 10, but I can't because, like Dr. Ray said yesterday, he should be out for 4 weeks possibly.
Yep.
And with his injury history, you just can't rely on that. So, I mean, it's interesting. It was great to watch and see how he... I mean, I was really nervous that he might not even pitch again this season. And to see that performance, and I think Seattle handled it perfectly. He was gone for a month. They let him pitch 75 innings. You know, he got 6 strikeouts, 7 ground ball outs out of the 16 outs. Nothing more you can ask for.
I saw on Roto World this morning, actually, that Nolan Arenado is like 8 for his last 48. I mean, he's mired in this gross slump. He'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, just gotta, I mean,
it was like Eric Thames, you know. It's,
sure.
You know, he had this slump, 3 for 37 with no extra base hits. Then yesterday, he homers for the first time in 16 games.
Oh, who was that homer against, Corey?
Oh, that killed
me. Who was it against?
Who was it against?
That was against the Mets.
Jacob DeGrom.
Good.
Jake DeGrom last night, the Mets needed, they were pretty open. Listen, we need like 7 innings from this dude every time out, given the state of our bullpen. And unfortunately, last night, he just did not have it. 4 innings, 8 hits, 7 runs, walked 5, struck out 6.
And what really pissed me off about, he obviously didn't have it from the get-go.
Correct.
And to leave him out there and to throw all those pitches.
105 pitches over 4 innings.
I don't care how bad that bullpen is taxed. Let somebody else have to handle that. This is the one guy you have who's healthy. And look, he had a bad night. And I don't even care if he would have let the seven runs up in the first inning. You can't leave him out there to protect your bullpen. You need to protect Jacob DeGrom.
It's crazy to me. The priorities of this team.
It really is.
It's mind-boggling.
DeGrom last night allowed two homers again.
Yeah.
And that's the fourth time he's done that this season. Last year, he gave up 15 home runs all season. This year, he's given up 10. So yeah, there are concerns. Last night, when he needed to go to his out pitch, he was trying to fool hitters instead of blowing them away. He's been inconsistent this year. He had the best game of the season last week, and last night he allowed seven runs for the second time in his career. By the way, Roto Experts at the Park this week, coming later this week. And
probably next week.
You know the trend.
Friday.
What's that? You know the trend. Well, it actually will start tomorrow when I interview Guys They Homer. I interviewed Eric Thames and Keon Broxton, and they both homer. I will say two of the nicest guys I ever interviewed, and I told Keon Broxton about you and about Matt and what we say about him, and he was very appreciative.
Did you tell Eric Thames that I was rooting for him to, you know, tweak his hamstring?
No.
Why not?
Why would I say something like that? That you root for players to get injured.
Who owns Eric Thames in the GST?
I believe it's Tony Zincata, I want to say. I will look. Hang on one moment.
Did you like Eric Thames?
Would you put Eric Thames, Jonathan
Did you like him?
Eric Thames had some really interesting insights on the differences and the transitions of playing, going back from Korea to playing in the States.
How big was he?
Didn't he say
you can look that up on the internet.
Owned by Tony Zincata.
Scott, didn't he say that when he was, or maybe you might have put this point out there before, but when he was in Korea, what he did was he watched Barry Bonds' film.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's how he got better and stuff. And
I want to change
his approach.
And that's true. And of course, Eric Thames' first home run in a while last night, 14th year of the year. Now, I want to go back to DeGrom for a second. I want to ask the optimistic Met fan this question, because I know you went off on him. And so, Scotty, DeGrom doesn't have it last night. We saw it from the beginning, right?
Right.
How do you? What is the rationale by allowing this guy to throw 105 pitches? Right. Like, if he doesn't have it.
Collins
save
even
the
came out and said, you know, that, you know, maybe I overdid it with him last night.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Why aren't you talking like Terry though? You got a great Terry imitation.
Well, you have to ask him the question. Hold on.
Terry, Jake obviously didn't have it last night or tonight. Why?
All right, you don't have it any morning on the goddamn Roto Experts.
Terry, please.
Why did you leave him out there for 105 pitches?
Who are you to second guess me? You want to cut goddamn Kyle Schwarber?
I do.
You want to cut Mookie Betts?
Terry, this is not about Terry. Can let me step in here, Terry. This is not about
step
Kyle Schwarber.
What the hell are you wearing,
Terry?
I saw you wearing a Walt Frazier jersey last week. You goddamn fake,
Terry. Can you please answer the question about the handling of the pitching staff?
Can you please answer these five right here?
Thank you, Terry.
All right, I left him out there for 105 pitches because the goddamn wanted to. All right.
I still have Jacob DeGrom rest of the season as my number five starting pitcher.
Yeah, nice. I love Jacob DeGrom. It's just as an owner, what they did to him last night pisses me off. It just he didn't have it. Take him out. Blow out Neil Ramirez.
You
want
to know what this is? This is
confidence.
I think Terry's a nice guy. I think he's a great baseball story. He does not know how to manage a pitching staff, the starting pitchers, the bullpen. It is a disaster. He's done very nice things. He's gotten them to the World Series, the playoffs last year. I can't argue that under, you know, a lot of duress and all that. But for me personally, I think it's time to go. I think a lot of people need to be fired in Queens.
Yeah.
I think it's time for you to go. You just walked into the goddamn set 2 months ago, and now all of a sudden you make an edict. This guy over here. Fip X, Fip this, that.
Terry,
shove your whoop away, the sun don't shine, Mo.
Terry, you're on a tear this morning, Terry.
I'm going to tear you up.
Whoa. Terry, please relax.
Just like LeBron going to do your golden fake Warriors.
Terry, are you going to watch game one with the team tonight? If you're not, or do you have
play
a game?
Play this afternoon.
So when are you
play
in
play this afternoon?
Oh, so you after your game, you and
yeah,
the
I'm
guys
gonna watch go, the game. Go Cleveland.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Okay, Terry. Yeah. All right.
Keon Broxton, as we said, as Scott just mentioned, his sixth homer of the year. He's Aguilar. Had a double in this one, so it was good. So the Brewers win, of course, 7-1. It was Javi Garrett. Both starts off the DL. Very, very good for Javi Garrett. Had a great year last year. This was his first win of the year. Got hurt on opening day. And to me, I could care less when he was coming back because I just didn't think anything would be the same as last year. Well, what do you know? I mean, two starts, two really good outings from Javi Garrett.
I put him on my watch list and then kind of like never did nothing about it.
Javi Garrett, his last eight road starts, is 5-0 with a 2.84 ERA.
He's been a find for the Brewers, man.
Ex-Met Javi Garrett.
Ex-Met Javi Garrett. He was ex a lot of things, I think. Don't worry, Terry. Things weren't much better for the Bombers in the Bronx last night. Of course, they played in Baltimore and fell to the Orioles 10-4. Masahiro Tanaka really matched takes a ground pitch for pitch here. Five innings, 5 2/3, 9 hits, 7 runs. Walked 2. He struck out 4. He was brutal last night. Kevin Gausman let up runners literally every inning as we watched this game downstairs. He allowed 8 hits, 3 runs, 2 of them were earned. He walked 5, he struck out 4. The big blow was a 3-run shot by Adam Jones. It really broke the game open. And Chris Davis did his 11th. That was a 2-run blast. That came in at the 7th. The Orioles had a nice outing, while the Yankees had their chances. They really did, but could not get it done.
Tanaka in his last 4 starts, 0-4 with an 11.21 ERA. You think this guy's hurt, Matt?
Well, don't forget the start. His last start out, he was struck out like a million guys.
Yeah, I thought something was wrong, but he kind of debunked that one thing I was holding where Austin Roman was catching for him, and he was doing good, but Roman was behind the plate last night, so that's totally debunked.
Yeah, to be fair, there's a major double by, I believe it was Trumbo, the Aaron Judge entirely misplayed in right field, and a couple of runs scored on that, and the pitch to Adam Jones was 2 outs. Like, again, this is all real, they're all earned, certainly, but you just make a couple pitches here and there, and the start's much better. And the same with Gausman, not like the Yankees just get a hit here and there, this line is totally different. So I don't know if he's as bad as his line showed last night, to be totally honest with you. We'll come back, we'll go over a couple more baseball headlines, of course. Total NFL during the 9 o'clock hour. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning with you, with Matt and Corey and Terry here right after this. I want everybody to know that as soon as that music hits, Scott literally stops what he's doing.
Starts jamming.
Throws the headset on.
Starts
opens
jamming.
The mouth wide.
Hey.
And it's interesting because he used to tell me that, you know, I don't know how to play guitar, so that's why I don't know how to do the mouth. But now he's just like moving like a robot, I think.
He's popping.
And his mouth is also wide open. I don't get that one either.
Scott, keep watching me, suspect. You might learn to dance one day.
Scott, you know what song this is?
Yeah, it's Usher.
Very good. Yeah.
He transforms into Scotty Love when the music.
Yeah, exactly. When they hear that music, Scotty Love take over.
Scott, you were real proud of me yesterday. We played Stump the Schwab with Howie Schwab. Air on foul territory tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I was very good.
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised.
Very good.
It was awesome. Very good at trivia.
I was very good, too.
Well, I have to find out how good you were tuning tonight. I played off the air. You, of course, played on the air. You were one of the stars, of course, of foul territory, Corey.
You are the game show master. Well, you are the MC.
This is a good trivia one, and I'm super, super into. I grew up watching the Schwab.
Yeah.
And to be able to see it and play, it was awesome.
Pretty cool.
I'll tell you what, Chris Vaccaro, GST, just froze. It was amazing.
Really?
The two of us sat in your seats.
Yeah.
And he asked us a question. I'll ask it to you guys now. I don't have the list in front of me, but it was name all the 1,000-yard rushers from last year.
Mm-hmm.
And there was X amount of them, right? And he just froze. And it was like, all right, name all the pitchers that won 15 games last year. And his first guess was Clayton Kershaw, who just didn't. And he was out on the first guess.
That was Howie's first guess?
That was Chris Vaccaro.
Chris Vaccaro, GST.
Guess. So it was
the league
awesome.
Where you went 14th at, GST?
No, the league where I'm in 4th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Another inaccuracy from the faker.
In last place will be Frank Stanfill and Benny Ricciardi.
Oh, yes. No, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but Corey's like afraid of those guys.
I'm not afraid of
Benny.
No, I'm not afraid of nobody's guy. I'm not afraid of nobody's guy. I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of your ass.
I'm the only one you pick on.
I pick on whoever I want to pick on.
No, I've never seen you go on anybody but me.
Pick on.
You are a faker wimp. That's what you are.
Scott, don't make me whip your ass. Your son downstairs.
I'm right here.
You're going to get embarrassed in front of your son.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
Your son is in the control room. And I
You're
will whip your ass, and your son will be like,
right
Dad,
here.
You got your ass whipped by the
I'm
fantasy
right here.
Executive.
I'm right
and
here.
And I'm about to say, sorry, Sean.
I'm right here.
Sorry, I had to beat
right
your daddy
here.
Up.
I'm right here. Stop talking and start doing
it's all right. So, Corey, the problem is that happens, and you have to host the father and son fantasy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, exactly. I don't even know NASCAR.
You know what, though? Corey's just a lot of talk. He's a softy.
His belly is
soft.
Yeah, my belly is soft. Yeah.
Last night, Max Scherzer pitches a complete game 5 hitter.
Wow.
One run. He didn't walk anybody. And he struck out 11 batters last night. Matt Kane, 5 innings, 8 hits, 3 runs. 2 of them were earned. But the story, Matt Modica, was Max Scherzer.
I mean, Scherzer, back-to-back games. I know people are going to say it's against the Padres and the Giants, but in 2 games, he was 1 out away from 2 complete games. He's faced 31 total batters in each game, so it's like 4 over the minimum both times. I mean, this guy is just tremendous. There's Clayton Kershaw, there's Max Scherzer, and Chris Sale right now as the top 3. I mean, to me, Scherzer's still number 2. As great as Sale has been,
sure.
There's still 4 months to go. I'll take the guy in the National League East that's done it every year.
I tend to agree with that that order for the record here.
Scherzer, 24 strikeouts in his last 2 games, and he came within and out of a complete game last time. You know, we talked about on Sincana and Engel, like, right now, who's the best pitcher in fantasy baseball? Is it Scherzer or is it Sale?
I also like Kershaw over these guys, personally.
I got to agree with that.
Rest of the season, I would definitely be taking Kershaw. Look, Kershaw's been getting hurt on the 4-seamer. I went back the other day, I was doing this, and I looked on Sunday's game, and that 4-seamer, it was bad location. I mean, he got hurt by the Javi Baez one and the Anthony Rizzo, leaving it up right in the zone. You can't do that. The Wilson Contreras was a great at-bat.
But Forsdale's last start, though, could you make the case that he was the best pitcher in fantasy?
Up until this point, yes, you can make for the first 2 months. But I'm saying if you, today, you get to pick your first pitcher.
If we drafted again today, yeah.
I'll still take Clayton Kershaw.
Yeah. Hold on one second.
Who would you take between Sale and Scherzer, though?
I would take Scherzer.
Matt, I still might go Sale.
Matt, let me ask you, did you say you went back and watched the game over?
No, I didn't watch the game. I went back and watched the home runs.
Oh, okay.
They had it on like the MLB app on the iPad.
Doing research.
I'm about to say, my God, you watched a baseball game twice? Most people can't watch a baseball game once.
Oh, you can go back and watch condensed version.
Condensed version.
Kind of like with football when you watch the film.
Yesterday afternoon, the Marlins defeated Philadelphia by the score of 10-2. It was Dan Straley. And I want to go to Straley for a second.
You should.
6 2/3, allowed 9 hits, 2 runs, 1 of them were earned. Dude struck out 10 batters. The ERA sits at 3.56. He is the only healthy starter in the Miami Marlins rotation. And this is a guy that everybody across the board, regression, 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 regression. There's been some regression, but he's also been, like, totally solid for, ring the bell, your fantasy rotation.
That he has. I mean, he really, really has. And I've stated this, like, him and Helix were 2 guys in particular that I had last year that paid really nice dividends that I purposely stayed away from this season. And Helix, and I was correct on, but Straley, I was wrong. He's got 2 games this year with a 10 strikeout performance, a 14 strikeout performance. I know the XFIP is like a point worse than his ERA, but this is a guy that's doing it, and I'm kind of buying it. And, you know, the Marlins will get something for him.
So I think so, too.
I thought it was good, Scott.
For the Marlins.
Somebody listening to the mothership. We've been saying since last year that we've been waiting for Straley, you know, to, like, start to gravitate in line with those advanced numbers, and it just hasn't happened. It hasn't happened. Sometimes
he's a jag. That's why it hasn't happened.
We've been saying that about Mike Leake for how long?
And Marco Estrada.
Yeah.
Same type of thing.
Well, Marco Estrada may have the best changeup in the American League.
I understand that. We talk about the advanced stats not equaling the real stats.
These guys don't have terrific stuff.
Marco Estrada, to me, is a top 20 pitcher the rest of the season.
Yeah.
He's proves it every year. Anyway.
Nobody would believe it until now, because now you're getting the strikeout numbers.
When it comes to the Marlins hitters, it's kind of been the same story all year long. Marcell Ozuna, 14 home runs. Dude's batting .321 with an OBP of .388. He's been unbelievable.
Big breakout year.
100%.
Yes, healthy.
And Justin Bour. Justin Bour, 2-for-5, couple of runs scored. He had 3 ribbies. Bour sitting at .288 with the OBP at .368 with two more home runs last night, bringing him to 15, Scott, on the year.
In his last 20 games, Justin Bour has 11. In the last 19 games, he has 11 home runs and 20 RBIs. The big thing about Justin Bour, he's got 15 homers. That's as many as he had last season all year. He's actually hit the first 4 home runs of his career against left-handers this season. Before this year, he had never had a home run against a left-hander. I spoke to Justin Bour early in the year. They said, if they give me opportunity, I know I can hit lefties. Of course, he's going to say it, but he has delivered on that statement that you heard on Roto Experts at the park. This guy is becoming more of a complete hitter. And he's got tremendous, tremendous power. We always knew that. I saw him hit a home run 2 weeks ago into the upper deck of Marlins Park. That was just majestic. This guy is really turned up. But we have to remember, though, that he's been streaky in the past. There's a cold spell coming, but this guy can hit 30-plus homers this year. He's hitting lefties. That's a big deal.
And he's basically done in 51 games this season what he's done in like 90 games last season. The hard hit percentage is 48.5%, and that's just tremendous.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Indians yesterday afternoon fell to the Athletics by the score of 3-1. And it
Bay
was
Area.
Sean Manaea, 7 innings, 3 hits, a run, a walk, 9 strikeouts of Sean Manaea. And Matt, you were saying during the break, everyone's talking about the return of Sonny Gray and what Sonny Gray is going to fetch on the market, and Sonny Gray this and Sonny Gray that. Well, screw Sonny Gray. What about Sean Manaea?
Yeah, I mean, this kid is really developing before our eyes into a stud. It's unfortunate his defense behind him is just horrific. But, I mean, look at his last two. Look at since he's come back from the DL, the teams he's pretty much faced. The last 3 games, Boston, at New York, at Cleveland. The last 2 at New York and at Cleveland, 2 teams that can hit the ball. He's given up 1 run, gone 7 innings in both. That was a knock on him, that he didn't go deep enough. Well, he's gone 7 innings in both of those road starts, 9 strikeouts, 8 strikeouts. The control, which he did have 2 games earlier this season where he did walk 5 batters, and that was the one concerning thing. But he's gotten that on the wraps. So, you know, last 3 starts, he's walked 2 batters.
And this was a kid last year. We knew he could change speeds, etc., but control was an issue.
He's
and Chad
chubby.
Chad Pinder hit 2 home runs yesterday. This is a guy I picked up out of desperation in my AL only league like 3 weeks ago, and he's delivered. This kid's got some pop. He can hit. If you need some middle infield help, pick up Chad Pinder.
Particularly in an AL only league, but absolutely.
Yeah. In an AL only league, I pick up guys because I'm desperate.
Sure.
And they're getting at bats, and then they turn into something. That's how I ended up with Bonifacio. He got called up. I said, might get a few at bats. I'll bid a few bucks on him, and look at him now.
I picked up Pinder in a couple of 15 team leagues this weekend in Fab, and he's doing quite well on my bench.
Might be time to start popping him in the lineup.
Hey, on the other side of things, Mike Clevenger, my guy, 6 2/3, 5 hits, 3 runs. The only bad pitches he threw all night were to Chad freaking Pinder.
Yep.
But Clevenger is the new Joe Musgrove.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Wait. Listen.
Did you cut Joe Musgrove?
Yes, I cut Joe Musgrove.
A billion times.
So did you cut him for Clevenger?
I might have. It's certainly possible. Are you saying he's the new Joe Musgrove, like, in my heart? Or, like, in, like, real life?
I think a little of both. I don't think Clevenger's the greatest thing, but I think right now he's got the spot. He's shown us some good things. We all get crazy excited if pitcher comes out and has a great start, which we should. And especially in 12-team leagues, if somebody strikes out, like, 10 batters or has a really impressive outing, you should go pick them up.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's all about the strikeouts.
I feel like Clevenger is the new Joe Musgrove to my heart. You're right, Matt. All right. On the other side, it is time to go at the park with the king. Roto-Espers at the park featuring Padres closer Brandon Marr is up next here on the Roto-Espers in the Morning of Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts at the Park, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The King, Scott Angle, gets the opportunity to talk to your favorite players each and every time he goes to the ballpark. And we bring it to you in a little 30-second clip here, 8:55 a.m. Eastern Time here on the Roto Experts in the Morning on a daily basis. If you want the full interview, check it out on demand wherever you're listening to us, of course, right now on SoundCloud, the Google Play Store, Audio Boom, iTunes, through our app, of course, the FNTSY Radio app, available for free right now. Also, make sure you check out everything inside the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Package, available right now. RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Package. This week, Scott got the opportunity to go chat with Brandon Marr, the former slash current closer of the San Diego Padres. It was just a week ago. We were like, all right, Marr is done. Pick up Brad Hand. And all of a sudden, they flip-flopped again. Last night, Marr picked up his 8th save of the season against the Cubbies. And Scotty, you got a chance to talk to him earlier this week.
Yeah, it is the current closer of the Padres. Hand did get 2, but the last 3 have all went to Maurer, all since May 28th. His 3rd in a row last night. And Maurer actually started his career as a starting pitcher. So I actually asked him, you know, what is it? What was the transition eventually like, and how are you feeling now as a closer? You were a starter early in your career. Now you're the closer for the Padres. How is it different, especially mentally?
Yeah, definitely. You've got to be able to shut your mind off there for the first beginning of the game. Whereas a starter, you got to come out ready to go right out of the gate. So kind of learning how to become a bullpen guy first off, and then now settling into this role, kind of learning how to continue that routine a little later in the game.
That's what's so interesting to me is, right, you got to shut your mind off at the beginning of the game, a.k.a. it's boring as F doing this every day. Knowing I'm not getting called on for at least 8 innings here, this is boring. What the hell do I do the first 7 innings of this game?
That's what I take it more as, like, you know, the adrenaline's not flowing for the first 7-8 innings, and then you have to turn it on more later in the game. You know, it's a different mindset, I think, for an athlete.
It is. It's sure. Of course, Brandon Maurer was a starter with Seattle. Always had some potential, right? Like, he's a guy that always had the potential, goes to San Diego, and eventually moved into the bullpen because they're like, hey, maybe we turn him into our Zach Britton. Not a lefty, but, like, turn him into Zach Britton, where he's a fellow starter, but he has good enough stuff to close. And I don't know if he's as successful as Britton, but Maurer, obviously, double-digit saves. He's been all right.
Yeah, and we see it, too, with Bud Norris. Bud Norris was not a bust as a starter, but he wasn't high level either. You know, now he's turned into, you know, Norris got his 10th save last night, and he's having the best season of his career, when, you know, that was a guy that was just trying to make the team out of spring training.
Totally.
Yeah, Maurer's an arm that people have always liked. I remember a few years back, Keith Lohr had him as his rookie of the year in the American League. That was his, like, prediction. And, you know, it never went well as a starter for him, unfortunately. But, you know, in this bullpen, he's another piece that's probably going to get moved, you know, go to a contending team to try and shore up a bullpen.
Last night, as we said, Maurer, I'm sorry, he had his 8th save, not his 11th. But he had the save for Luis Perdomo, who is, again, not 35-year-old journeyman. He's a younger player.
Yeah.
7 innings, 3 hits, 1 run. He struck out 4 against the Cubbies, who once again fall.
They swept the Cubbies.
Despite Jake Arrieta, 6 innings, 5 hits, 1 run, 2 walks, struck out 7. The Cubs now 2 games under 500, getting swept by one of the worst teams in baseball.
Well, the Padres actually won some games, though, lately. You know, maybe they aren't the worst team in baseball.
I said one of the worst teams.
Yeah, but the Cubs have lost 6 in a row and 2 series in a row for the first time under Joe Madden. You know, but for Maurer, you know, there's a lot of speculation about that he would lose his job by fantasy owners, you know, with Hand and Caps, and hasn't happened.
Not yet, but it's still time for me to get traded. Don't you worry.
Yeah.
We'll take a break when we come back. We got a lot of football to get to here in hour number 2. That's NBA Finals predictions as well. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. 1 hour down, 1 more to go. Roto Experts in the Morning continues next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning. starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts, live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, alongside King. All right, CGM Baseball's Tavo Zika, Fantasy Executive Joe Parson. I am Greg Sussman. Hour number two has arrived. We talked yesterday about some of the rookies from last year, maybe to temper your expectations a little bit here with the rookies from this year. So this hour, we're going to get more into the rookies from 2017. But before we do, I want to talk a little bit here about the NBA Finals predictions, because the finals begins tonight. You can see Corey, if you're watching live, on the air, that he's decked out in Dub Nation gear. So with that being said, Fantasy Executive, make the prediction. Hello, Scott.
I think what we're going to get happening tonight, you said ask for the prediction. I think it's going to be testy series. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be hard fought. I think it's going to be some riveting drama. But in the end, I think the Golden State Warriors are the better team. I say they get it done in six games, and they win it on the floor of the Cleveland Cavaliers once again.
Matty Modica.
Cleveland in seven. Long live the King.
Cleveland in seven. I feel like the momentum for the Cleveland Cavaliers, at least with the fans, kind of like picked up this week. People are believing in the King.
Steph Curry became a heel at some point last year.
That was last year. I feel like the Warriors in general are heels this year.
Yeah, they are. They're
heels. Durant, the whole deal.
I think Corey makes a good point that LeBron's got his best supporting cast, or one of the best, you know, so.
100%. King, will you also be picking the King?
Cleveland in seven, and Corey goes across the street to Modell's and returns all his gear for, you know, Washington Nationals merchandise.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he'll return. He's a big Dubs fan.
He's not. Dub Nation. Scott, leave me alone, Scott.
I have a dump that's in the toilet,
Scott,
longer than you've
been
a Warriors fan.
People been driving their kids to school.
Wait, you have a dump in the toilet longer than you've
been? That's been there longer than he's been a Warriors fan.
Do you not flush the toilet?
What? I'm saying, Sean, I haven't even had an opportunity to flush yet.
Hey, put Sean on there and let's see if Scott flushed the toilet when he home.
I'll flush it with your phoniness.
It looked like a race car.
You look like a fake car.
Never mind. We on TV.
Bandwagon hopper.
We on TV. I don't want nobody.
Fair weather.
I don't want to get in trouble. Because then when I get in
for 25 years.
And then when I get in trouble, I ain't going to hear from you. You feel what I'm saying? I had
Leave
a draft last night.
That was awesome.
How'd your draft go last night?
I was happy with what I did, but there's a lot of people out there in the industry that's not ready for football yet, because there was no competition. I kind of just had my way.
Is it a real draft or a mock draft?
It was a mock draft for the Masters Ball Fantasy Football magazine.
Will you be purchasing that?
They're going to send me one. I'm the fantasy executive. I'm in it. They might put me on the cover.
You are the star, that's for sure.
Yes.
When we return, let's think of some of the rookies not named Christian McCaffrey, not named Leonard Fournette, not named Joe Mixon. The other rookies, well, they're all up for debate. We'll talk about them when we return. Fantasy football next on the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All right, back here, Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Let's talk some rookies.
Rookie.
I'm glad you had a mock draft last night. And Modica, you're still drafting, I assume.
I think I got a draft tonight.
Your drafts never end, ever.
Never.
So, I want to tell you a whole list of rookies here that we're going to get into, because I think they're all interesting in their own way. I want to start in Green Bay with Jamal Williams. Because I read this morning, I said it off the air, that Ty Montgomery is actually a bigger back than Jamal Williams is. Now, I know a lot of people are getting in on Jamal Williams here in 2017 because they don't think Ty Montgomery can hold up as the running back in Green Bay for a significant period of time, for the entire season. They say that, listen, he's a converted wide receiver. It's like, it's not going to happen. Scotty has mentioned he can't go all in necessarily on Ty Montgomery because he hasn't trusted Green Bay to simply run the ball enough in order to justify an investment where he's getting drafted. Fair point. Jamal Williams, of course, a middle-round draft pick, a true running back, someone whose name I think is a very good chance that at some point in the year he becomes valuable. But I don't think that's week one. Given that it's probably not week one, and at this point he's probably a handcuff and not much else. Where should we be drafting Jamal Williams? Corey Parson?
I got to go later on, double-digit rounds. The hype is going to get real, though. Guys like Jake, you know what I'm saying? Other people around the industry going to talk him up. But unless I see something different in training camp, I'm going to go with the assumption that Ty Montgomery is going to get the first crack at this and that Ty Montgomery is going to get a pretty decent shot to hold it down. I think a guy like Williams can be a change of pace, a little bit more than a handcuff. When people start pulling him up into that 7-8 range, I think you're overdoing it. I probably like him better a little bit between 10 and 12 for Jamal Williams, but I'm probably not going to have much of him because I think the hype will grow as we get closer to kickoff.
Yeah, I think he's like an 11th round guy. That's exactly what I was thinking. But, you know, I'm not big on Green Bay running backs. It just, you know, I feel like, you know, they use them to keep the defense honest. They're a pass-first team. They even were when they were of the mindset that Eddie Lacy could be something really special. They still went to the run secondary more than anything. So I'm not big on Green Bay running backs because I gave you the reason for Montgomery. Williams, I don't know how much opportunity is going to be there, so I might leave him out there till at least round 12.
Yeah, I like Ty Montgomery. I think, as I stated the other day, he's the poor man's Lamar Miller. That offense, he is trusted by Aaron Rodgers, and he's going to catch a lot of passes in the backfield. I agree with Scott as he talks about, you know, how pass-heavy they are and stuff. But for PPR, Ty Montgomery serves a very good purpose. I think he's a borderline, you know, top 20 back.
Let me ask you this, Madika. Where did he go at Jamal Williams in that NFFC draft championship?
I took him, actually.
Right,
I took him in the 12th round.
Yeah, I like that. So I can get down with that.
You figure this was quarterback heavy because you got to take, you know.
Yeah,
sure.
I figure he's going to go around round 10.
Yeah.
You know, maybe somebody reaches into round 9, which I think
they're going to pull him up the board.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You, like you said, you are going to hear the drumbeat.
At that point, I'm not going
to. You are going to hear the drumbeat for Jamal.
Yeah, I agree. I think people are going to see an opportunity with Jamal Williams, and you're right, Corey. The draft nits are all going to get in on Jamal Williams, and he should be the guy, blah, 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 blah. But I'm with you. Ty Montgomery basically earned his opportunity last year. They were desperate at running back. They made this kid a running back again, and he earned it.
He got into it.
And you know what? They made it clear. He's the guy. And I agree with Scott. They use a running game to just keep the offense honest. And that basically, if it's not Ty Montgomery getting the carries, I think they just go away from the running game completely. So I'm not really into Jamal Williams.
I don't mind Ty Montgomery catching the passes.
Absolutely.
He's in one of the most prolific offenses. It's like you want to own a running back in New England if you know who it's going to be. Like, I think it's, you know, I think they're making it clear James White is that pass catching guy. Yeah.
I will tell you the two things that scare me away from Montgomery, not just the secondary part of the offense. The fact, and I said this the other day, that he hasn't been a running back over an extensive period. He looks like a guy who's running after the catch. I don't know that when defenses are preparing for him or they want him to be a regular part of that offense, you know, is he going to be able to hit holes consistently, have the vision, stuff like that. But that was in a smaller sample size. I'm talking over a full season. A, I don't know if he consistently do it. B, I'm not saying the guy will never catch a pass, but I think there are other options ahead of him. I'm not saying I'm out on Ty Montgomery, but I'm not as high as you guys.
Let me
throw the ball 600 times, though.
Let me play devil's advocate.
There's like 3-4 options ahead of him.
Jordy ain't going to get 200 targets. And even if he does, it's still 400 more to go around.
You got other wide receivers, and now you got Martellus Bennett in the mix, too.
I'll be devil's advocate a moment for Ty Montgomery, right? Like you said, he hasn't played running back in a long time for a consistent amount of time.
I watch him on film, and fundamentally, I see things that have to be improved in order for me to be sold full-time.
Sure, and I understand that. As you said, you see him basically as a wide receiver running after the catch.
A tight end running after the catch.
Fine.
Yeah.
Okay. But couldn't that be construed almost as a good thing that he hasn't played running back for quite a long time? Because he hasn't taken as many hits as some of these guys. So maybe
I'm not worried about durability.
Okay.
That never entered into my mind. What I'm saying is the ability to read your blockers, pick and slide, make defenders miss in both in short space, you know, things like that. The basic fundamentals of a running back. You know, I think the Packers kind of sprang them on people as the unique kind of gadget almost, if you will, last year. Now teams are going to prepare for him on a consistent basis, and he's going to have to run in that offense on a consistent basis week to week from the get-go. It's different doing that later in the season.
He had a game last season, Scott, where he carried the ball 16 times for 162 yards.
Obviously, he's talented. I'm not doubting that. But what I'm saying is, when you know the defenses in the division know this, Teams are going to be preparing for this. They want him to carry 16 to 20 times a game.
But Scott,
there's things fundamentally that he's got to work on.
As him as a running back, Scott.
Yes.
But he's going to be a point producer for fantasy purposes. He's going to run the football 9, 10 times a game. He's going to get 8, 9 targets in the passing game. He's going to have opportunity to put up numbers in the PPR. And he's going in the 5th round right now. He touches the ball too much not to have fantasy value.
I don't know. You know that.
So what are they going to do? Stop playing him?
I didn't say that. No, what I'm saying is, you can give him 10 touches, but if you're not reading your blocks consistently, if you're not making people miss, the touches might be there, but the yardage consistently might not be there, and I can't have confidence that they are going consistently out of the backfield every week.
He catches the ball, which is a big thing.
How much is he going to catch the ball? He's going to have three to four options ahead of him.
He had 56 targets in 6 games. He played in 15 games. Started only 6 games and had 56 targets.
I think it's going to be a different thing when you come out of the gate. This is the thing, and I was saying this about Cody Kessler too. When you come out of the gate at the beginning of the season with a certain game plan and you want to execute it and defensive coordinators are watching it, things can turn
out
differently.
Let me ask you this. Do you like this line? 9 carries for 41 yards, 3 receptions for 45 yards.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's
very realistic.
That's readily listed. That's Ty Montgomery. You throw a touchdown in there. Yeah. How many fantasy points? That's 7 in the PPR. That's 4. That's 12. You throw a touchdown on that. That's 18 fantasy points.
But here's my problem, though. When he's consistently doing that, though, you know, how is he going to hold the ball, et cetera? Is it going to be are they going to be fumbling issues?
He wasn't fumbling last year.
He didn't fumble
the ball one time last year.
Defenses are going to be targeting him every week. I'm not convinced that this guy is a pure runner yet.
Why can't he get better?
That's true, too. Kessler can't get better. Scott, I don't think people can get better.
He was thrust into becoming a running back last year. He was supposed to be a wide receiver.
I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm just saying I'm not as high on you guys for that reason. You guys are trying to make it like black or white, like I don't like the guy or I do like the guy. I'm saying he is talented. There is potential there, but I'm not in on you guys because I still think he's a work in progress.
I look at Ty Montgomery, and I think I would
not take him in the 5th round.
Scott brought up interesting points, about the reads and hitting the holes. And, you know, the fact is he obviously did a good enough job with the Green Bay Packers, in my opinion. Green Bay Packers trust him to do this. And I think
they said he's the guy.
They said he's the guy. As a fantasy player, as kind of Corey pointed out, I'm interested. Let me throw this at you.
When he's catching passes, I almost look at it like it's an empty set backfield in a way.
But he's still getting fantasy points. They're not like, okay, well, he caught the pass, so we're not going to score.
See, you guys, with all due respect, are just looking at last year. I'm looking ahead to what the game plans are going to be for this year.
Scotty, and the rest of the table, guys. Who would you rather have? Who would you draft first? Ty Montgomery or Davante Adams?
Davante Adams.
Yeah. I would draft ahead of him.
Yeah.
Fantasy Pros rankings right now is Ty Montgomery one spot ahead of Davante Adams. Interestingly enough,
that's crazy. Yeah,
all right, who would you rather have, Ty Montgomery or Joe Mixon?
I'm going to go with Mixon because I know he seems. It seems like he is going to be that guy for them. Everything you hear, Jeremy Hill gone, Bernard still injured. So
Corey,
I'm going to go. I would take Mixon.
I'm high on Mixon.
Ty Montgomery or Eddie Lacy, man he's replacing.
Ty Montgomery.
Okay.
I'm going to take Ty Montgomery, but it's not such a slight. I do like Eddie Lacy, but I am taking Montgomery.
It has nothing to do with who I root for. Eddie Lacy.
The fact that you had to preference that is like... And you talk trash about me, but you had to preference that.
Talking about rookies, how about this one? Dalvin Cook or Ty Montgomery?
That was the last one I was going to do because that's where we're going next. Dalvin Cook or Ty Montgomery? Take a moment to think about it because when we come back, we're going to break down Dalvin Cook as a rookie and his value in 2017. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. A lot of controversy, of course, when it comes to Joe Mixon. I'm sorry, sure, Joe Mixon, but also Ty Montgomery, what we think of him. And it sounds like fifth round's right where he's going right now, or is what you guys said.
Yep.
The ADP, according to Fantasy Pros, and there's not many drafts in there yet, but ADP is about number 50 overall, which puts him really at the top of round number 5, which I think is interesting. Where would you feel comfortable having Ty Montgomery? Is RB3? Is that what you want him as? Two?
It depends on roster construction. If you go zero RB, he's an RB1.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see how you're going to get him as an RB3 unless you really go running back
heavy. All right. So
that means I'm going to have limited exposure because I don't want him as my regular starter.
There you go. Okay. So that's Ty Montgomery. The last name that Matt threw out just a moment ago was Dalvin Cook. He was the one I was saving for the end because that's where I want to go next. Of course, we're kind of talking about a few rookies here, and I'm sure this will extend a few days. There's a ton of potential rookies that we need to care about. Dalvin Cook, of course, in the same division as Jamal Williams. He was drafted earlier, and the situation is, well, I don't know if it's better, but it's kind of equal because there's one other guy. Well, there's two other guys there. Latavius Murray, who the Vikings signed in the offseason, who's battling an injury, coming back from a foot injury. Jerick McKinnon, who still exists as a pass-catching back. And then you have Dalvin Cook, who has the ability to be, I think, what a lot of us believe, a game changer. Exactly. With all that being said, I'll start to go the other way this time. Matty Moe, where would you draft Dalvin Cook?
Well, let's put it this way. Prior to the combine, I thought Dalvin Cook was pretty much like right there with Fournette, a little below, but everything I watched of him in college was pretty impressive. Everything he was able to do, running the ball, catching the ball. I think this is a really good situation for him. And I don't think he's going to be the sole lead back or workhorse, whatever, bell cow, whatever you want. I think that's a good thing. I think it's good that they have Murray having his defined role, being that goal line guy, short yardage guy, ground and pound guy. And that will help Cook. The one thing he does have to do is pass protect. He's got to prove he can do that. He's got to prove the shoulders are healthy. But this might be a guy that, you know, went undervalued because of the underwear Olympics and can really shine.
Scotty.
I think Dalvin Cook has the most talent, obviously, of any running back. I love what I see on film in Minnesota. That said, you know, I think with rookies, sometimes they don't want to, like, expose him to that major workload right away. And the fact that they have Murray and they have McKinnon can make this an aggravated committee right out of the gate. I think eventually Dalvin Cook becomes the guy. Maybe that's later in the season. Maybe an injury causes that to happen. But right now, though, I could see them using all three running backs. And that, look, I like Dalvin Cook as much as Matt does. I think he's got a lot of talent, and they should give him, but they don't have to rush the rookie into a heavy role, and that's what concerns
but
me.
But isn't that a good thing, though, for him, possibly? I don't. He doesn't need, you know, like last year we saw a guy misused in Lamar Miller. And maybe, you know, say he runs the ball 7-8 times and, you know, gets targeted 8-9 times. Maybe that's a good thing for him because he can take it to the house.
No, he can, but the only thing that worries me is he going to get enough consistent touches, you know, early on?
He landed in Minnesota. It's not really the most fantasy-friendly offense there is. Pat Shurmur likes to use two running backs. He's got these rotator cuff injuries that could cause him problems holding on to the football. If you can't hold on to the football and you can't pass protect, you have a hard time staying on the field. Especially the Vikings are going to be a team, play defense, drive the bus, whatever. That's how they're going to roll it, try to push their way into the playoffs. I like Cook, the talent. I think he has too many red flags for me to confidently draft him as a 5th-6th round guy. So I will be underexposed to Dalvin Cook. I like the talent. I love it. But I think he plays for the Vikings. Well, it's not really where you go to get your fantasy
that's
stuff.
The
problem
for me.
Is, too, is that a lot of average fantasy players are going to look at it like that's the guy that has the most upside, and they're going to push him up the board.
Well, he went in the 4th round in my draft. I'm not going to pay that.
That's too high.
I mean,
yeah.
I'm not going to pay it. He went before Joe Mixon. I got Joe Mixon 3 picks later. And I agree with everything. If he was, say, a 6th-round pick, then I'd have a lot more consideration. I'm going to take Ty Montgomery over Cook for this season.
Scotty, you like to say one of your favorite cliches is that opportunity doesn't always create value, right? And I think that's where I am personally.
Doesn't create production.
Create production, yeah. Sorry. That's where I think I am, because that's like what the line is ringing in my head when it comes to Dalvin Cook. Because I think people, the reason Dalvin Cook's going in the fourth round is because they see a true opportunity for this kid to be a breakout starter, to be a breakout running back. And the reason I'm hesitant on him is I remember last year where Adrian Peterson went down in week two, and everyone scoops up Jerick McKinnon, everyone scoops up Matt Asiata, and there's all of this opportunity to create production. And the fact is, that line was so terrible. That offense was just crawling 10-yard passes to Kyle Rudolph and getting it to Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, in that there was no opportunity for the running game to get going, which is why they invested in Dalvin Cook to get better. I know the line, I'm not saying the line will be as bad as it was last year, but that is in my head glaringly as a Jerick McKinnon owner multiple places last year. I remember that so vividly that I am not going to invest this fourth round draft stock in Dalvin Cook, especially when a guy like Jerick McKinnon, who has proven to be a competent pass catching back, still there. Well, Latavius Murray, who has proven to be a touchdown scorer, is there. There are warning signs aplenty, in my opinion, when it comes to Dalvin Cook.
You said opportunity creating production, though, not creating production because of a guy like Jerick McKinnon. I actually see the reverse with Dalvin Cook. It's like, I feel like if he had the opportunity, he's definitely going to produce, but the opportunity might not be there out of the gate. Jerick McKinnon, to me, is a different running back when I watch these guys on film. Jerick McKinnon can't create his own running room the way that Dalvin Cook can.
Yeah, I moved on from Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, and Jerick McKinnon is kind of like an afterthought when it comes to fantasy.
And he's not as talented as Dalvin Cook.
And I think the one thing that could be a plus, I agree with Corey, the shoulders are the main issue for me. But the one thing that could be a plus, say the line is slightly improved, it's better, it can't be worse than last year. But having the quarterback that he has, you know, he's probably going to look to dump off a lot more. If he's not going to throw to his buddy, the tight end, he's probably going to do a lot of dump passes. And I think Cook is just such a superior talent.
When he gets the ball in the open field, yeah, he can really get it done. But here's the thing. I like him better in year two. Let's say Bridgewater gets back and is healthy.
Yeah.
And Bridgewater can start getting outside the pocket and being a threat to run the football at the quarterback position. That will help open up running lanes for Cook also. I'm going to have Dalvin Cook, but I'm going to be underexposed to Cook. It's going to take roster construction. I'm not telling you don't draft him, but he's not one of these rookies that I'm going after in 2017.
And to your point about
if he'd have landed in Tampa Bay, I'd have been all over him.
And to your point, Matt, about, you know, how much more talented Dalvin Cook is than Jerick McKinnon. All we heard about was Jerick McKinnon was that he was fast. Yes, he's fast, but you know he doesn't have that vision, that kind of evasiveness that Dalvin Cook has.
I honestly thought Dalvin Cook was going to be a top 10 pick. I thought he was going to be the second running back off the board, you know, early on.
He was your favorite after Fournette, right?
Yeah, no, at that time. I mean, I that's what it looked like. And then McCaffrey went all the way up. Cook dropped. Mixon, we knew. I mean, there were teams saying that Mixon wasn't even going to get drafted, which I thought was asinine to even make that comment. I thought for sure he'd be a second-round pick. If not, I thought he'd go in the first round. I thought maybe a team like the Raiders, that's typical of something that they do, would take him late in the first.
He went to a typical team.
Matt answered here the initial question of Dalvin Cook versus Ty Montgomery. Let me throw it out to you guys as well. Scotty, Dalvin Cook or Ty Montgomery?
Tough one. I like Dalvin Cook more as the pure runner, but I feel like Montgomery's more of the opportunity, so I'm going to say Montgomery.
Ty Montgomery.
I will also go with Ty Montgomery. Let me get to the next running back here on this list. Again, I'm trying to stay away. We're not talking McCaffrey. We're not talking Fournette. We're not talking
Mitchell. That's a good thing.
We're talking about some of these other running backs that we got to figure out where their value is. We talked about Jamal Williams. We talked about Dalvin Cook. I want to talk about Samaje Perine now.
Sam Perine.
Fantastic. Now I know how to say it, and we'll screw it up again. Sam Perine. Mm-hmm. Even better. Sam Perine, we talk about opportunity. It certainly seems like one exists in Washington. Sam Perine has an opportunity, much like Rob Kelly did last year, to totally usurp this role. We've talked many times over the past couple weeks how much I'll speak for me, likes this Washington offense. I like Kirk Cousins. I like Jordan Reed. I like Terrell Pryor. I like Jamison Crowder. I like all of those pieces. So that means, theoretically, I should like the running game as well. Scotty, I'm going to start with you this time. Rob Kelly, Fat Rob, supposedly they're trying to trade this guy during the draft. They don't want Matt Jones, which means Sam Perine, I think, is going to have every opportunity to run away with this job. if that's all true, where should we be drafting Sam Perine?
I would say he's like a fifth-round pick.
It's pretty high. Okay.
Yeah.
So it means you would not draft Ty Montgomery in the fifth round, you just said.
Yeah.
So you're drafting Sam Perine ahead of Ty Montgomery.
Yeah. It's a good opportunity in a good offense. They want Kelly out of the way. They drafted this guy for a reason, I think. I want to see what happens in camp and preseason. But I think it's a very good offense with a lot of opportunities for him to finish scoring drives and play a role here. And I think they want to run the ball, too.
So if you're drafting the fifth round, that means you're drafting him before Cook, before Montgomery. You're drafting him higher than anybody else at this table.
You got to slow down.
I would have to say rethinking it with the Montgomery thing, I would say maybe sixth round.
Okay, so sixth round. Okay, Corey, I know
it'd be a tough decision between him and Montgomery for me.
I know you said it's a little early from where you're at.
Yeah, I would go 8-9 on Perine. You still want to see it. And Washington may not commit to the run. They'd be like, you know what, Kirk Cousins, we're going to have you throw the football until your $30 million shoulder can't throw the football anymore. We got all these pieces in the passing game. You know what? We don't care. So I think Perine I want him as a bench player. But he could, listen, stash and cash. He could be a guy that at some point during the season can really catch on, kind of like David Johnson a few years ago and kind of like Devontae Booker was supposed to do last year.
I mean, Fat Rob is still there.
Yeah.
As much as they wanted to trade him, Kels, he's still there.
Robert Kelly.
I still like Fat Rob. I don't really hate Fat Rob. But all right, we'll come back. We'll talk more about Sam Perine. We're also going to get into Kareem Hunt, Joe Williams, and more. Stick around. More Roto Experts in the Morning coming your way next. All right, we're talking about Sam Perine here. All the way back in the morning, Perine did it again.
Sam Perine.
Sam Perine. Here I did it again. Sam Perine.
Sam Perine, blow your mind.
Scotty Love.
And the question with Sam Perine was, where should he go? And Matty, I feel like we cut you off there, so I want to give you the opportunity to finish your thought on Sam Perine.
No, I mean, there's like everybody was saying, I think Corey phrased it perfectly, stash and cash. There's still the guy who played last year is still there. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. He will be somebody that will get the opportunity, and if he does deliver, it'll be his job. I'm not really worried about that, but I'm not going to make a fifth or sixth round investment on him right now. I drafted Kareem Hunt in the seventh round, who I would take over him.
So let's get into Kareem Hunt, then, who you drafted in the seventh round. Kareem Hunt, of course, he was one of the guys immediately following the NFL draft. Everyone was like, whoa, big circle on the list here. He's, of course, on the board. You're watching right now on the Fantasy Sports Network. Kareem Hunt in Kansas City. And given the struggles with Kansas City last year, and all of us at this table, I think, experienced some Spencer Ware crap last season. Jamaal Charles is now in Denver.
Yep.
Shark Hedrick West has proven to be nothing more than a third down back, if that. Which left, really, just Spencer Ware and Kareem Hunt. Now, when OTAs and the rookie minicamp happened, all we heard was how good Kareem Hunt looked in every facet of the game. Running the ball, catching the ball, blocking. Yet, Andy Reid said, listen, Spencer Ware is my guy. I'm very impressed with what Spencer Ware has done, and we think will do. A lot of this is coach speak from Andy Reid. I get that. I mean, he was talking about Jamaal Charles was healthy at this point last year when slowly but surely it came out that he wasn't even close to healthy. Maybe he'd never be healthy again.
How he's healthy, we never saw him on the field.
Right. So, I can't buy anything that they're saying when it comes to Hunt or Ware. So, all we can do is kind of guess about Kareem Hunt.
Why I'm going all in on Kareem Hunt is Andy Reid paid a third round price for him. He played in a smaller school, so he didn't get the pub and all that, and lesser competition, to be fair. But his elusiveness ratings and all this stuff and some other really good stats, he was pretty much up there with Dalvin Cook as like those guys that were the most elusive in college football. So there is a lot to like here, and his main and Andy Reid coached running backs in fantasy do very well.
They certainly do.
So, I mean, I don't. That offense isn't going to change. Alex Smith still at the helm. So I'm looking at the opportunity here. I'm seeing Spencer Ware. I'm not saying that he's not going to play. I'm not saying Kareem Hunt's walking in there and taking. I don't want Kareem Hunt rushing the ball 30 times and stuff. I want him getting a bunch of different touches. But and I still think Spencer Ware will have a role on that team. But I think the opportunity-wise is why I really like it. And the head coach, the system, the player.
Everything Matt said is the reason why you got to get in on Kareem Hunt this year. Maybe you do it in round 7 or 8. That's I'm higher. Like Matt said, you got the Andy Reid factor and what they do with the running backs, giving them the football out the backfield, goal line work. He's going to pick a guy, use him in a dynamic way. I think if there's any two Kansas City Chiefs I'm going to get in on, fellas, is going to be Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt. I think they can really scheme it up the right way with both of these guys. Listen, they got to do something because Alex Smith is not going to get it done.
He's not going to put the ball down the field.
He's not going to get it done. So they got to figure out how to get this offense to go to where they can go and win a damn playoff game with the ball inside the 10-yard line. You know what I'm saying?
They can't get nothing done. And they lost
the game. This is ridiculous.
Here's the thing. I had a very spirited conversation about this yesterday with somebody who was asking me about Spencer Ware. You know, they wanted to keep
you talking
in the seventh round, and I said, I'm not gonna keep Spencer Ware in the seventh round. He proved last year this is not a guy that can do it from wire to wire. He's a pedestrian back. Kareem Hunt on is talented, and he's going to get the opportunity. And I think quickly, Spencer Ware's original scouting report, 6th round fullback. That's what he looked like last year.
Where you said. You said you were in on Kareem Hunt in the 7th round. Is that what you said?
I drafted him in the 7th round in this one. In that first draft we did, me and Corey, that Saturday, I think I took him at the end of the 6th.
Day after the draft.
I would pay 6th round price for him.
Okay. Corey.
7-8.
7-8. Scotty.
7.
7-8. Yeah. So, I want to make this Sam Perine, currently in Fantasy Pros, is going ahead of Kareem Hunt. Is that fair?
I think that's a mistake.
It's a mistake, says Modica.
That is a mistake.
Mistake for you. Scott?
I agree, yeah.
You just told me Sam Perine could be going in the 5th round.
No, I backed that up after, you know, thinking that, you know, Kelly's still there. I would say both of them are like probably like 6 round picks to me, but I think Hunt's going to get the opportunity. The path is even clearer for him because I think Rob Kelly's more talented than Spencer Ware as a runner.
Okay, who are you drafting first, Sam Perine or Kareem Hunt, ultimately, in the draft? If you're saying both goals are on the same spot, who would you rather have?
Kareem Hunt
all the way
around. Hat trick.
All right, so then, with that being said, let me ask you this. Kareem Hunt or LeGarrette Blount?
LeGarrette Blount did fall into a nice situation in Philadelphia. But you know what it is with Blount? I'm more nervous about him out. I've mentioned this before. Outside of New England, outside of the culture that they had there, you know, you have Belichick, you have Brady, they have leaders there, proven people. It's going to a young quarterback, young coach. I really like Blount. Maybe I'm wrong here. I'm going to say Hunt.
Okay, Scotty.
I'm going to say Hunt. I totally agree with Matt. Like, he said it right. I am worried about LeGarrette Blount out of New England.
Corey Parson.
I don't get that part. The system was set up perfectly for him in New England. But I think Philadelphia is a better team this year. And them being a better team, I think they run the ball more in the fourth quarter. And I think LeGarrette Blount does that. I take LeGarrette Blount over him.
Okay. Kareem Hunt. I'm going with Modica first here again because it's his guy. In a PPR, Kareem Hunt or Theo Riddick?
There's the Ameer Abdul factor.
Sure.
Can this guy ever, you know, stay on the field, number one? And will he be the featured back? Theo Riddick, if I know Theo Riddick is going to get the snaps, well, then it's Theo Riddick.
I don't know what you're going to know. That's a problem.
I think they're really going to push for Abdullah. Damn it. I mean, I love Theo Riddick, but... Today, it's pretty much a coin toss, but I'll probably say Hunt.
Scotty.
I'm going to say Hunt. Theo Riddick has had some injury issues, doesn't carry the ball enough. I feel like Hunt's going to really become a big part of that offense.
And Corey?
It's close call right here, but I'm going to go with Theo Riddick. I'm going to go with the guy that's done it before. You know how he can be in the passing game. Listen, his health is going to be a major concern. Definitely somebody need to talk to Dr. A about coming off to this double wrist surgery. But if he's out there and he's healthy, that kid can catch 85 passes.
No, he can. I mean, I think Corey sums up perfect. It's probably the right move, but I'm a guy that'll gamble a little more. So
tell you what, Kareem Hunt, it seems like you at the table, the kind of a lower guy on Hunt from where we are. Last one, Corey, I'll start with you for this one. Kareem Hunt or Doug Martin?
Oh, I'm not fooling with Doug Martin. Yeah. Kareem Hunt, okay. Easily.
My advice is...
But I would say I would take Jaquizz Rodgers over Kareem Hunt.
Interesting.
But you don't have to. See, no. The Jaquizz Rodgers thing is a secret that nobody's in on right now. You can just sit and watch him fall down the draft board, and then draft him, and you got the starting running back.
Round.
And he's going to be a starter. Jaquizz Rodgers is going to be the starting running back.
He's the opening day.
He's going to be the starting running back.
Doug
he's
Martin
going in the 17th round.
Isn't good.
That whole Tampa Bay backfield scares the hell out of me.
Scott, like, I'm telling you, get involved with Jaquizz Rodgers.
I can't get involved with Jaquizz Rodgers.
But look at all the
Rodgers.
Weapons they got on offense.
He's like
5'6". And tight ends.
He's like 5'6", 150 pounds. I don't think he can carry the load for more than two games.
He has a better season than CJ Prosize.
Oh, I like this bet.
I don't think so.
Let's make a bet here.
In a PPR, so. He have a better season than CJ Prosize.
I think Jaquizz Rodgers is being overblown. Just because of the
he's
the
going top
in
round 17. He's not being blown on. He's being blown on overboard.
No,
Doug Martin's not going to get the,
job. I don't want any. In round 17, I'm fine with it. You know, because maybe you can get a good game or two out of it. I think, you know, round 17, I don't have a problem with it. You know, Matt and I discussed it yesterday, but he's not going to become the running back.
A slice of pizza.
He's not going to become the extended run. He's not going to become the starting running back over an extended period.
A slice of pizza.
What?
A slice of pizza.
Depends on where the pizza is.
Not dollar slice.
I'm not going to go out to Queens.
I'm bringing you to my.
You're a pizza snob.
If we win,
win or lose, we go to my spot. Gloria Pizza in Queens.
Well, it's not a bet, Dan.
No, because
the Blue Oyster.
No,
you're only one to go where
I
want to go.
I am not eating that dollar pizza.
So you use plenty of other pizza places.
Go to any place else, Scotty.
Go to my spot. Make it a fun bet.
Too far.
No, it's not. It's 15 minutes on the train.
He's like Sbarro.
Scott, you're sleeping on Jaquizz Rodgers, Scott. I'm telling you, you're sleeping on Quiz.
Jaquizz Rodgers will not go more than two games as a starting running back. He's 5'6", 180.
All right.
Too small.
Scott, look what he did last year.
He had like 1.5 good games last year, right?
He had 560 yards. He had 560 yards rushing on 129 carries. That's 4.3 yards.
They started him for three games.
He's going to have a better season than Eddie Lacy.
They started for... No way. They started him for three games. By the third game, he was like he was out of gas.
What are you talking about, Scott? He had a game where he had 30 carries.
I know.
He had a game where
they
he had 26
him.
Carries.
They
he had a game
him.
When he had 19 carries.
He had games of 15 and 17 carries
in a fantasy-friendly offense with Doug Martin behind him, Scott. He is going to take
they
off
do that
this
to
year.
Him again. He is going to wear down and get hurt.
Scott, you don't like these little running. You don't like because you don't like diminutive running backs, Scott. Every running back.
More
than
diminutive.
Like Eddie Lacy.
No, he's
not
more than diminutive.
You don't have to be fat to be a running back, Scott.
I like Jay Ajayi. I don't know
he's
what you're
fat.
Did I ever say I was an Eddie Lacy fan? No, I don't know where this is coming from. All right?
Lacy.
This guy is 5'6".
You do like Lacy.
185.
You do like Lacy.
He is more
like
than diminutive.
Lacy.
I'm not a big Lacy fan, but in round six, I'll take him.
When we come back, we wrap up the program and find out how much Scott hates Alvin Kamara because he's a small guy. Stick around, Royal Experts wraps up right after this.
I gotta give Will Smith props.
Okay.
Like, we know him as a big movie star.
Yeah.
But, and not really as a rapper. But this is one of the best rap songs ever made, Summertime.
Summertime's awesome. All right, there's three more guys on the list. One of them is just James Conner, who, listen, I'm into James Conner because he's the handcuff to Le'Veon Bell.
That's it.
That's the only reason I want James Conner. He's going to get drafted, and he should. But he's a handcuff to Le'Veon Bell, and that's it. So I'm going to move on from that because I do want to get the other two guys in the last 5 minutes of the program. Alvin Kamara. Scott, I assume you hate him?
No.
Think Reggie Bush, Darren Sproles in New Orleans.
Yeah. I mean, he's a good offense. We don't know what's going to happen with Peterson and Ingram, how that's going to work out. This is not a guy that, you know, I want is anything more than an RB3, but there's certainly some potential there.
Yeah, I really don't see the interest in it this year. Better for a dynasty league. I don't know how much work he's going to get with Ingram and Peterson. And then you still got what's his name in the mix?
That's gone.
So Kamara's the third.
Kamara
one.
Is Kamara.
I think Kamara is going to get that. He's going to be that role.
He's going to have a role. I mean, just think about how many people owned Javaris Cadet at some point last year. It's going to be very similar.
I get it, but I'm just not involved in it.
I agree.
You didn't really want to start Cadet, though, unless it was a bye week.
But the thing is, I think Kamara is going to go late enough where you're not going to have a problem taking
Exactly.
It.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a good point. All right, the last name on this list for today is Joe Williams out in San Francisco. The latest report on my guy Carlos Hyde was that he's not picking up Kyle Shanahan's zone-based offense well. That has seen many running backs thrive. In fact, it's really struggling coming out of Chip Kelly's offense, where it's basically shotgun, read, go. Joe Williams, famous story, Kyle Shanahan pounded the table to draft Joe Williams in the fourth round despite all of his off-the-field issues, despite him completely being off general manager John Lynch's board. Kyle Shanahan slammed the table and said, we need Joe Williams.
Said he would have been sick to his stomach if they didn't get him.
Now, here he is. He's the backup running back at this moment to Carlos Hyde. Where are you drafting Matt Modica, Joe Williams?
It's currently... It was in the double digits, but he's a guy that's going to move up. He'll probably be known as Mighty Joe Williams going forward, because you know you have the if Kyle Shanahan loves you, you are a person of interest.
I agree with you. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, so, I think we'll get to sometime probably around the 10th, second week of August or something. I would not be surprised if Joe Williams' ADP jumps Carlos Hyde's ADP. Because I think it's trending in that direction.
Yeah, and you have to remember, you know, with Hyde, we've already talked about the durability issues as well.
I also want to remember, do you remember now you're saying like the 10th round and whatnot? It's not going to just jump Carlos Hyde's potential ADP. You're going to talk about Hunt. You're going to talk about Sam
Perine.
I knew I was going to screw up again. Sam Perine, Kareem Hunt. You're going to see Joe Williams start to go in that batch. Mm-hmm. It's coming because this hype, this never-ending hype train is going to get behind Joe Williams.
Hype will just generally get behind rookies anyway.
It's true, and that's why I wanted to break it down today to try to figure out where they should be drafted, not to follow the hype. In the coming days, we'll get to the rookie wide receivers. We'll get to the rookie tight ends as well.
Real quick, though. Everybody at this table, real quick. Do you have like a rule that you always take like a veteran over a rookie if it's a close decision?
No, not really.
You can't have it over a rookie.
It depends on the player, the team, the system. Especially in football, the scheme.
You know, you can't have an overall rule like that, Scotty. You're the one taught me that. Hey, we have 1 minute remaining. Corey, what's coming up next on the OGs?
Coming up on the OGs, I'll go through some of the results of the mock draft we did for the Masters Ball magazine last night. Had a couple of industry dudes in there. So we look at my team, look at their teams, talk about the players, myself, Matt Modica, and George Kurtz, the answer expert from rotoexperts.com.
Final question goes to the Met fans in the corner.
Uh-oh.
Why is your mascot giving the finger to people?
We're angry. We are angry people right now.
Scott?
I guess he's pissed off.
For the record, this is the backup mascot, not even the real mascot. The OGs are next for Matt Modica, Scott Angle, and Corey Parson. My name is Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic Thursday afternoon, and the Road West will see you tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Bye-bye.